There might have been one or two men on Safehold who were smarter than Narman Bates, the Archbishop reflected. He was quite certain, though, that there weren't three of them. If he'd ever entertained any doubts on that head, they'd been firmly laid to rest during the long days of the lengthy voyage from Emerald to Chisholm. With Narman's cousin, the Earl of Pine Hollow, to keep an eye on matters of state in Emerald, the rotund little prince had been perfectly willing to return to Chisholm. Mostly, Stainer suspected, because that was where the court was, and Narman simply couldn't stand being away from the great game, even if he had found himself drafted onto someone else's team after his own was eliminated early in the playoffs. The only thing he'd insisted upon was that his wife, Princess Olivia, join him this time. And watching the two of them together during the voyage, Stainer had understood that perfectly as well. As a matter of fact, Stainer had been very much in favor of Olivia's coming along. He strongly suspected that Narman's wife, who was one of the shrewdest women the Archbishop had ever met, helped to keep the sometimes potentially too bright for his own good Narman centered, and that was a very good thing. Of course, it could present a few additional difficulties of its own under the circumstances.
"As a matter of fact, Caleb, I agree with your assessment of Narman," he said out loud. "And with Merlin's, for that matter. And unlike Merlin, I have been pressing Jean for a decision, which, I might add, he hasn't given me yet."
"No?"
Caleb sat back, gazing at the Archbishop. The short silence seemed considerably longer than it actually was, and then the Emperor grimaced.
"He may not have given you an answer yet, Michael. This time, though, I think he's going to have to."
At that particular moment, Stainer thought, Caleb looked a great deal like his father. There was very little humor in his brown eyes, and, at least as importantly, Charlian's expression was as serious as her husband's.
"I don't want to get up on my Emperor's high dragon with the Brethren any more often than I have to," Caleb continued, "but in this instance, I think I do have to. They've been debating this particular decision for months. They started on it well before you ever left for Emerald, for God's sake, and I can't afford to let it go on any longer. I'm going to have to insist they give me a decision, now."
Stainer looked at both of his monarchs for a long, silent moment, then dipped his head in an unusual formal gesture of respect. But then he looked up again, meeting their eyes steadily.
"If you wish a decision, Your Grace, then you'll have one," he said gravely. "But you have considered the consequences if the Brethren agree and it goes poorly?"
"We have," Charlian said grimly, before Caleb could reply. Stainer turned toward her, and she returned his regard with equal steadiness. "If we tell Narman the truth, and it turns out we've misjudged his reaction, we both know what we'll have to do, Michael. I pray it won't come to that. And if it does, I'm sure I'll spend the rest of my life regretting it and asking God's forgiveness. But if the decision has to be made, we will make it." She smiled bleakly. "After all, we've faced the same possibility with everyone we've brought inside. So far, we've come up golden every time, as Caleb likes to put it. And to be honest, part of that is probably exactly because the Brethren's first instinct is always to go slow and think things through as thoroughly as possible. But we've always known that, sooner or later, we're almost certain to be mistaken. And we've always known what the price of that mistake will be, just as we've accepted that there are some people we'll never be able to tell the complete truth."
"Very well, Your Majesty. You'll have your answer, one way or the other, this very day."